Before we turn to the Word of God, can I just express a note of thanks? And I'm going to be bold and do that both for myself and for Mark. It's been a joy to be amongst you during this weekend. For me, I think this is number four, but for Mark, this was the first. The fellowship has been rich. We have been well looked after, and I want to express our thanks to George and to everyone who's been involved in organising the convention. It's been a joy to be here. It's also the case that both of us are going home slightly heavier than when we arrived. Now, for Mark, that's not a problem because he's driving home, but I have to get on an aeroplane tomorrow, so hopefully I won't throw the plane over its legal weight limit. But thank you, in all seriousness, thank you for your kindness and hospitality. Let us bow briefly before the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we realize this evening that we are not here by chance. Lord, you have brought us to this place. You have gathered us in this building. We also appreciate, Lord, that that word that we are about to hear is not a word that we will hear by chance. We, Lord, come this evening recognizing that you have brought us here, and you have brought us here to hear this particular word. So, loving Heavenly Father, we pray that you would graciously work in our minds and in our hearts, that we would hear aright, that each one of us would hear precisely the word that you intend. And we pray to the Lord that that word would be fruitful in our lives this evening, but also on an ongoing basis. We pray, O Lord, that you would graciously take us, that you would fashion us and mold us into the people that you want us to be, people that bring glory to your Son, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask all of these things in his dear and precious name. Amen.
Amen.
The Psalms are amazing, aren't they? The Psalms are amazing. All Scripture is, of course, inspired by God. All Scripture is the breathed out Word of God. But there is something about the Psalms, isn't there? There's something about the Psalms that make them particularly special to us as the people of God. Perhaps more than any other, the Psalms have been the go-to book for the people of God throughout the centuries. Now, there are probably many reasons for this, but perhaps the chief reason is the fact that the Psalms so often reflect how we feel. The great reformer John Calvin once said that the Psalms are the anatomy of all parts of the soul. And he goes on to say that every emotion that we experience as human beings are mirrored here in the Psalms. If you're happy or sad, if you're fearful or thankful, there is always a psalm to reflect your deepest emotions. Now, if you were here yesterday, you will know that we turned to a psalm. And the psalm that we turned to was Psalm 63. And we considered the theme of desiring God. Now, this evening, I want us to turn to another psalm, to the psalm that's just been read in our hearing. I want us to turn to Psalm 73. And I want us to turn to this psalm and to consider the theme of drawing near to God. Now, let me say at the outset that we are not going to look at this psalm in its entirety. We're going to look at one verse. In fact, we're not even going to look at one verse, but one part of one verse. We're going to consider the opening statement of verse 28, where the psalmist says this, "But it is good for me to draw near to God." But it is good for me to draw near to God. Now, let me just put things in context. Psalm 73 is a psalm of Asaph. Now, if we work on the assumption that the Asaph referred to here is the original Asaph and not one of his descendants, then that means that this psalm was written by one of David's chief musicians. He was the choir master of the great Levitical choirs in the tabernacle. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, he would write several of the psalms that we find in the Psalter. But as Psalm 73 was being read earlier, it probably struck you that as Asaph writes this psalm, he is not in a good place. He is obviously struggling. He is a man that is full of doubts and fears. Now, what is Asaph's problem? Why is he struggling? Why is he full of doubts and fears? Well, there's a very simple answer to that question. He looks at the ungodly, and it seems as if they have got the better end of the deal. He looks at the ungodly, and he sees that despite their wickedness, they are living prosperous and trouble-free lives. And this plunges Asaph. This plunges Asaph into a sea of doubt. And he is buffeted. He is buffeted by wave after wave after wave of confusion, fear, and misgiving. He actually reaches the point where he seriously wonders what the point is to the Christian life. He reaches a point where he seriously wonders what the point is in going on in the Christian life. Especially because, in contrast to the ungodly, the godly seem to have lives that are filled with great difficulties. Now, let's be honest, folks, this evening. That strikes a chord with us,
doesn't it? That strikes a chord with us. We can all sympathize with Asaph this evening. We have all thought what he thought. We have all been where Asaph has been. What is described here in this man's experience is not alien to us. We have all felt similar things. We have all asked similar questions. We've all struggled with similar doubts. So the question is, where does the solution lie? Where does Asaph find relief? Well, friends, it is as he draws near to God that he finds comfort and reassurance. And it is this idea of drawing near to God that I want us to explore for a little time this evening. Because I think, in part, it will complement some of the themes that we were thinking about yesterday, but also because it speaks into our own lives, into our own struggles, into all the doubts and fears that at different points we experience as the Lord's people. As God enables, we're going to think about three things. We're going to think about an amazing fact. We're going to think about incredible encouragement. And we're going to think about wonderful fruit. An amazing fact, incredible encouragement, and wonderful fruit. So let's start at the beginning. Firstly, we have an amazing fact. We can draw near to God. Let me repeat that. We can draw near to God. Now, there are certain places, aren't there? And they are off limits to us. You're walking in the country and you come across a beautiful meadow or a lovely forest, and with all your heart you want to go into that meadow or into that forest, but there is a gate, and on that gate there is a sign, and you know what the sign says, don't you? Trespassers will be prosecuted. You're in a shop and there is a door, and you're curious to know what lies behind that door. But there is a sign on the door, and the door sign says staff only. You're in a busy airport and there is a special queue. A special queue with less people than the queue that you are in. But that queue is for priority passengers only. Certain places are off limits to people like us. And the same is true of people. Some people are off limits to people like us. Think of celebrities. Think of members of the royal family. They are off limits to us. If you try to go up to the king next time he visits Northumberland and you try to walk up to him, there's a good chance that his bodyguards will pounce on you. Certain places and certain people are off limits to people like us. And friends, that makes the truth of our text all the more amazing. We can draw near to God. We can draw near to God. We can draw near to God. It's truly extraordinary, isn't it? And you won't find it anywhere else. The creature coming to the Creator, the finite coming to the infinite, the sinner coming to the sinless. Now, of course, we have to come the right way. Jesus once said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." The writer to the Hebrews speaks of a new and living way that Christ has opened up for us and which enables us to draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. The Lord Jesus Christ is that new and living way, and we cannot draw near to God by any other way. But if our faith and our trust are in him, then we can come. And friends, not only can we come, but we can come boldly. We can come boldly under the throne of grace that we might receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We can draw near to God. Now, friends, can I ask you this evening, do you know anything of drawing near to God through faith in Jesus Christ? It is true that Asaph comes to the sanctuary, but coming to the sanctuary does not necessarily mean that you have drawn near to God. Asaph comes closer than that. He draws near to God by faith. And what I'm asking, friend, is whether you know anything of that. Drawing near to God through faith in Jesus Christ, because there is no other way. It doesn't matter whether you are a churchgoer or a non-churchgoer. It doesn't matter what denomination you belong to. It doesn't matter whether you were baptized as an infant or as an adult. Good as many of those things may be, none of them are the means by which you can draw near to God. Back in Northern Ireland, they talk about good living people. And there are many people in the province who believe that they are Christians because they are good living people. And I don't doubt that they are good living people. But being a good living person doesn't draw you near to God. The only means of access is the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ. Have you drawn near to God through faith in Him and in Him alone? So we have an amazing fact. We can draw near to God through faith in Jesus Christ. Secondly, notice that we have incredible encouragement. It is good to draw near to God. It is good to draw near to God. Now, not every encounter with an important person is necessarily good, is it? You're in class. I know for many of us that's a long time ago, but you're in class and a note arrives. The headmaster wants to see you in his office. He's not inviting you for tea and cake, is he? You're at home and the postman delivers a letter. The bank manager wants you to come in for a meeting. He's not inviting you so that he can discuss a Wimbledon with you. The phone rings. It's the local surgery. Your doctor wants to see you urgently. He isn't going to discuss the rate of inflation, is he? Not every encounter with someone important is good. But friends, it is good to draw near to God. In fact, it's more than good. The word here means something pleasant, something better, something beautiful, something bountiful, something excellent. It really is good to draw near to God. So friends, we need to ask the question, what is it about drawing near to God that makes it so good? Well, let me suggest three reasons for you. Firstly, when you draw near to God, questions are answered. When you draw near to God, questions are answered. Now, we all have questions, don't we? There are things that we don't understand. There are things that baffle us. And sometimes those things, those questions, those unanswered questions that we have, they bring us low. And that's where Asaph is. That's where Asaph is as he writes the psalm. He sees the prosperity of the wicked and their trouble-free lives, and he begins to wonder. He begins to wonder why he has lived a godly life. But it's when he comes to the sanctuary of God, in verse 17, it's when he comes to the sanctuary of God that he begins to understand. He has questions. He draws near to God. And those questions begin to be answered. Now, is this simply a matter of location? There's that TV program, isn't there? Location, location, location. Is this just a matter of location? He comes to the sanctuary and he begins to understand. Is that the way it works? No. There's obviously more to it than that. Yes, Asaph comes to the sanctuary, but he goes a step further. His heart goes out to God. He draws near to God by faith. And as he does so, the questions begin to be answered. It's there in God's house, as Asaph's soul draws near to God, that the answers begin to come, no doubt through the means of grace of the Old Testament church. And he begins to understand the truth about the ungodly. It reminds you, in some ways, doesn't it, of James's exhortation in James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. There you are, with an open Bible, and you're reading the scriptures, but you don't understand what you're reading. And so your heart goes out to God in prayer. You draw near to him in prayer, and the answers begin to come. The light begins to go on. This morning, I was in the shower, and momentarily the shower light went off. Now, there were no windows in this shower. And I wondered what I was going to do, but then I thought, I wonder whether the light is one of those movement control things. So please don't picture this too much in your mind, but I was leaning out of the shower, waving my arm around for the light to go on so that I could see. And often that's the case, isn't it? We're in the dark. We cry out to God, and the lights go on. Sometimes we're wrestling with big issues. Should I marry this person or not? Should I take this job or another job? And we draw near to God. We draw near to him in prayer, and the direction is given. Friends, it is good to draw near to God, because when we draw near to God, questions are answered. Now, really, we could just stop there, couldn't we? I could hand over to George and we could go home on the basis that that's enough. But there's more. Another reason for drawing near to God is that when you draw near to God, you see beautiful things. That was David's experience, wasn't it? And in many ways, it expresses what David feels in Psalm 23 when he says, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." David clearly loves God's sanctuary. Now, there's no question that the tabernacle was a beautiful building on the inside. The only problem is that David, even though he was king, was not allowed to see the internal beauty of the sanctuary. He wasn't allowed into the holy place or the most holy place. He had to stand outside in the courtyard. So how can David speak about seeing the beauty of the Lord? Is it just an aspiration? Is it just a desire? No, it's more than that. You see, as he stands in the courts of the Lord, either in public or in private worship, his heart draws near to God and God shows him beautiful things through his word. And friend, if you are a Christian this evening, you know what I'm talking about. Don't you? You know something about this in your own experience. Haven't there been moments when your heart has been drawn near to God in a special way? And haven't there been moments when your heart has drawn near to God and God has shown you beautiful things. Beautiful things about himself. Beautiful things about Christ. Beautiful things about the gospel. And all through the word. Friend, have there not been moments in your experience as a believer when you thought your heart was going to explode because of the beautiful things God graciously revealed to you through his word? If you haven't done so already, after this service, take a look at the table over there and look at some of the photographs from previous conventions and some of the people that have been. And for some of you, that will bring back memories. Haven't there been moments in this convention when you have drawn especially close to God and God has drawn especially close to you? Haven't there been times in the history of this convention when God has shown you wonderful things, beautiful things? Haven't there been moments when you wondered whether your heart could contain the joy that you feel at what God has graciously revealed to you? Why is it good to draw near to God? It's good to draw near to God because our questions are answered and because God shows us beautiful things. Let me give you one more reason. It's good to draw near to God because when you draw near to God, you're coming home. When you draw near to God, you are coming home. In many ways, that's a good summary of Psalm 84, isn't it? The psalmist feels loved, blessed and safe in God's presence. And at another level, that is true of home, isn't it? If we come from a good home, if you know what I mean by that. A good home is somewhere where we feel loved and blessed and safe. And it's a picture of intimacy and closeness. I don't know whether you saw it, but there was a lovely moment in the life of our late queen. It was towards the end of her reign, and I think she was in Scotland, and she was visiting a hospice. And while she was in the hospice, she was introduced to this couple, and she shook hands with them both. Firstly with the wife, then with the husband. And just as she was shaking hands with the husband, his mobile went off. And he swung round desperately, trying to switch his mobile off, and you know what it's like in situations like that. You know how to switch your mobile off, but when you're under pressure, everything just seems to go, and there's this man struggling to switch his mobile off in the presence of the Queen. But the best thing about that incident is his wife's face. It said it all. She was absolutely horrified. And after the encounter, now let me just say that the Queen took it in her stride. She actually made a joke of it, and it all was lovely. But after the incident, this couple were interviewed. And in the interview, the wife said, "I could have killed him. I could have killed him." Why? Because it is a privilege to meet the monarch. But you can't relax in the presence of the monarch. You don't feel at home in the presence of the monarch. But friends, it is so different with us in relation to God. Yes, God is glorious, and we enter his presence with reverence. But we know that we are loved, and we know that we are at home when we are with him. It's good. It is good to draw near to God. We lose sight of that sometimes, don't we? No matter how long we have been on the Christian pilgrimage, there are times in our experience when we lose sight of how good it is to draw near to God. And we allow ourselves sometimes to walk at a distance from him and just simply to go through the motions. But oh, if only we would draw near to God in Christ. Our questions would be answered. We would see beautiful things. And we would remember that this is where we belong. This is home. So we have an incredible encouragement. It is good to draw near to God, because when we draw near to him, we are blessed in so many different ways. Thirdly, and more briefly, we have wonderful fruit. Wonderful fruit. If your Bible is still open in front of you, just take a look at verse 28 again. The psalmist says, "It is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord, that I may declare all thy works." Now, friends, think about Asaph. He wasn't in a good place when he drew near to God, was he? He was discouraged. He was confused. He was angry. He was full of doubts and fears. He wasn't even sure whether it was worthwhile going on in the Christian life. But what I want you to notice is how he leaves God's presence. His faith is revived, and he is intent on declaring to the world the mighty deeds of God. We were thinking about a moment ago about beautiful things and seeing beautiful things. Well, friends, Asaph sees beautiful things. Look at verse 23 through to verse 26. Asaph says, "Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by thy right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion." Now, friends, are these new things? Are these new things? Are these things that Asaph has never seen before? It's possible, but I doubt it. I think Asaph was familiar with these things. I think he had seen them in the past, but at a particular point in his life, he lost sight of them. At a particular point in his life, it was as if the clouds of living in a fallen world inhibited his view of these things. And all he could see was the wicked and their trouble-free lives, and he was plunged into doubts and fears. But friends, it is as he draws near to God that God parts the clouds, and he is able to see these things clearly once again. Friend, are you at a low ebb spiritually? Are you at a low ebb spiritually this evening? Is life in a fallen world taking its toll? As you take your spiritual temperature, are you not where you were 2 or 3 years ago? Do you lack desire for the things of God? Is the motivation just not there? Are you struggling with doubts and fears and questions? Could you easily throw in the towel? Have you lost sight of the beautiful face of your Savior? Friend, if that is true of you in any way whatsoever, learn from the example of Asaph. Draw near to God in Christ, and he will revive your lagging faith and make you fruitful once again. Remember, you come to a Savior who himself was sorely tempted, but he didn't give in to those temptations. And with his heart filled with sympathy and having been victorious both in life and death, he is well able to revive your lagging faith. The devil would say to you this evening, "You keep your distance. You keep your distance. You keep well away from him." But Scripture tells us otherwise. Scripture says to us this evening, draw near to God. And if you're saying in your mind this evening, I can't draw near to God because of all the doubts, all the fears, all the bad thoughts I've had, dear friend, look at Asaph. He was exactly where you are. But he drew near to God. And as he drew near to God, all his struggles began to fall away. I love the Psalms. And I love singing the Psalms. Because Calvin was right. They are the expression of the anatomy of our souls. And every emotion is indeed mirrored here. And what I love about the Psalms so much is they give us the vocabulary to express our doubts and our fears and our struggles. And they encourage us to go to one place with all our doubts and our fears and our struggles. They encourage us to draw near to God in Christ. It is good for you. It is good for you to draw near to God. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening that there is a new and living way. We thank you that in Christ you have opened up that way for us. We thank you that he is that way. We thank you that he is the way by which we approach you for salvation, but also ever after, he is the way by which we approach you in all the trials and tribulations of life. Father, we pray, help us not to listen to the lies of that great enemy of our souls. Lord, he would encourage us to keep our distance. But Lord, as your people, may we ever and always draw near to you in Christ. And Lord, as we do so, we pray that you would graciously bless us, that you would show us wonderful, beautiful things, that you would strengthen our often wobbling faith, and Lord, that you would equip us so that we might be better servants. Father, we thank you that one day we will draw near to you forever. We thank you that the day will come when faith will give way to sight. And Lord, what beauties we will see in Christ on that day and for all eternity. And Father, we thank you that on that day we will understand in a new and deeper way that we are at home when we are with you. Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that you would bless it to us, helping us to hear and to profit from it, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.